You're listening to WCOM FM LP 103.5 Chapel Hill and Carrboro, your community radio station. The comments, views, and opinions of this program do not necessarily represent the views of WCOM, its board, and underwriters. Hello and welcome to Focus on Business. I'm your host, Lee Strickland. I'm a business consultant, a small business owner, a strategist, and, well, some of my friends refer to me as the brain because I design businesses, the systems, the architectures, and the processes that enable businesses to succeed. Right now, I'm working with my clients on a strategic focus for 2021. So I want to share some of what I'm doing with my clients with you. And I'm calling today's program a 2021 Strategic Odyssey, looking into your business's future. So I want to give you a strategic perspective and an action plan. And well, we are going to admit that 2020 has not been the best year for business. It's been a really tough year for most businesses. Even if your company didn't experience a decrease in revenue, you've had to deal with challenges. So your profits may have gone down. Many companies have moved to remote worker status or a hybrid of a remote and an in-person workforce. You may have had to invest in COVID testing for your workforce, implemented COVID screening before entering your workplace, temperature checks and things like that. You may have had to modify your offices or another workspace to create and maintain social distancing. So many things have changed in our physical and operational worlds. While 2020 is almost behind us, but we may continue dealing with COVID impact in 2021. There are likely to be other changes. The International Monetary Fund, IMF, says that the global economy is down 4.4% in 2020. The economic outlook that they're talking about for 2021 was revised down slightly from a 5.4% output to a 5.2% output. In other words, some forecasts are saying that the economy worldwide, business activity, will be below 2019 levels. In fact, in the United States, Goldman Sachs is projecting that the first half of 2021 will continue to be a struggle for many businesses and industries. Even the projection of adding stimulus being discussed will not be sufficient to save many small businesses. So we have to take action. What do we do as business owners? I tell my clients to research, to analyze, to strategize, to plan, and to act. And this first point we want to think about is our starting point. Where are we today? We need some perspective. So if they're telling us that we're going to be at 2019 business levels, what did 2019 look for us before COVID? And what is 2020 projected to close out at? We're sitting here in December and we know just a few more weeks are coming, are left to perform. And what are we looking at our numbers? What things do we need to look at? And once we know that information, we want to look at our 2021 goals. So what was our revenue, our profit, the number of payroll employees, the number of employees in total, and the payroll dollars that were there? What kind of contractors, 1099s, did we use? What kind of contractor expenditures did we have in 2019 and 2020? And also for 2020, we want to look at our outstanding accounts receivable, our outstanding accounts payable, how much cash we have on hand. If we are an inventory-based business, what kind of inventory do we have on hand in dollars? We want to look at our line of credit balances, and if we have a line of credit available, if we haven't used it, what was our PPP loan amount? Did we take it? Is it likely to be forgiven? What deferred payroll taxes did we take advantage of, and what other expenses were we able to defer, such as our rent or other things, because our landlords or other vendors worked with us? Did you get an EIDL loan, an EIDL loan? What was the amount? How much of it's unspent at this point? And do you have any other long-term loans? We want to gather our financial information to get as clear a snapshot, a clear picture of where our businesses are right now. And that's really important to know where we're starting. So we know what 2019 looked like. We know where we're standing in 2020, and we're able to forecast and project what the rest of 2020 is going to be and how things are going to come out before taxes, for our businesses. And we're going to hold off on putting our goals down for 2021 until we've done some analysis. We want to look at our open client orders that are still there, whether it's a purchase order or an order that they've placed and is just waiting to be fulfilled. What do we have in our pipeline? How many of our clients are in good shape? How many of them have closed or have had to reduce their operations? And how has that translated into our numbers? And so we want to look at trends within our financials, within our sales, and the historicals of our clients, 2019 versus 2020. We want to know how the behaviors and the patterns of behaviors changed for our clients. And that gives us a starting point. So I'm calling that client clarity when I'm working with my clients. I need to know how stable their business is, what's been changing, what have they been doing. And I need to know it to work with them to assess how we're going to move ahead. What strategies are we going to understand? But you can do this on yourself to a large extent. You may not know how to interpret it. You might not know where to look for information. And you might need some strategic assistance and tactical advice. But you can gather a lot of the information and look at it and analyze it and be familiar with it before you bring in a consultant like myself to work with you on it. The more you know your business, the more you know your information, the more you're able to pull out the details and dig into what's going on in your business, the better you're going to be able to work with someone, whether that's your accountant, your attorney, your clients, your vendors, the people we're going to be talking about, your employees, to know how to move forward in 2021. So every business needs to understand what's going on with their clients. By understanding your clients, you can better assess future sales potentials, identify opportunities to do more business with your existing clients, and you can get information from your clients by either conducting a survey or the old-fashioned way, by picking up the phone and giving them a call, or schedule a Zoom meeting. And where feasible, maintaining safety and COVID rules, etc., you could do things in person. So making connections right now with your clients and getting information and having conversations is more crucial than it has ever been, because people are feeling isolated and stressed and often feeling like no one cares and no one's reaching out to them. So the more you reach out to your customers to show you care authentically, not faking it, not trying to make a sale, you're going to make a difference. Yes, you need information from them, but they also need support and information from you. The connections you're making today with your customers may be the reason they continue working with you for the next 30 years. Business is all about relationships, and we're all having a challenging time with relationships, with the distance that COVID has put there. We use technology and it enables us to stay in touch, but a lot of people are missing that personal touch and a phone call. For some reason, it seems like a phone call is almost more personal than a Zoom, even though we can see each other in a Zoom conversation. But it's important to be reaching out. Zoom, by phone, an email, a survey. Do something to gather information about your customers and assure them this information is confidential and only for your use. You know, you're going to aggregate it together. And maybe you want to go back and share with them some of the lessons learned. You're not going to share the details of who answered what, but you can give them the patterns. And you can help them formulate and gather information from their customers that they can turn around and share with you. So right now we're in a situation where the more information about what's going on and how businesses are feeling about what they're doing and what their customers are, the better we're going to be positioned to make decisions, and they won't be 100% correct, but we're going to be more informed and have more ability to peel back the layers and do some scenarios as to what if this happens, then this is going to, we're going to do this. So we need to make strategic and tactical decisions. And by having information from our customers about how they're doing, how their revenues look, how their profits look, are they down more than 25%? Are they down less than 25%? Are they about the same? Or maybe they're up more than 25%, or slightly less than 25%. Our conversations need to be about the biggest challenges that people have faced in their businesses because of COVID and this year, what those challenges revealed about the core of the business, the crucial element, that part of the business that keeps you in business. It's about why you're in business and why you compete. And we're going to take that information and your asking questions will actually help your customers clarify their position in their mind. So what has been their biggest challenge? What changed the most in their businesses? Are they optimistic or pessimistic or uncertain and don't know, can't make up their mind about what 2021 is going to be like? Have they been going through the exercise of creating a business plan, a budget, and a forecast for next year? Will they share some of that with you? How do they think their business will do in 2021? Will it be back to 2019 levels? Will it exceed 2019 levels? Do they think they're going to still be struggling and be at 2020 levels or even lower? Maybe they don't know because they haven't looked and they haven't asked. And maybe your questions might prompt them to be proactive and take a look at their business and get an assessment of where they're starting from so they can give you information about where they're going in 2021. And maybe you can give them some tips, some insights, some products, some new solutions that are going to help their business. You're going to look at your business and understand how your employees are doing. Did you keep everybody? I was watching TV today, and someone in the entertainment industry, been in the industry for 40 years, stated that just last month they had to get rid of all of their people, their band, their road crew, you know, all of the people associated with being an entertainer and traveling and entertaining. And that was the first time in 40 years that he'd ever been faced with that. And so they recognize and analyzing in the entertainment industry that that's probably going to be one of the last things to come back, concerts, you know, where everyone's crowding into in a big arena, even if it's outdoors. Those kind of things are probably permanently changed, at least until herd immunity and all the vaccines are spread out, and maybe even after that. Who knows? But he was assessing his business and making the tough decisions. And those have ripple effects when an entire industry, the airline industry, hotels, restaurants, are still greatly constrained in so many parts of the country. Those ripple effects of what are they going to do? How are people going to behave? Are people staying home? All of those things have to roll through. So one of the most important things you can do right now, getting ready for 2021, is assess how things are going with your employees. Are you going to be able to keep them? Is somebody going to leave because they have to stay home and take care of kids or their parents, or they've had COVID and there's been a long-term impact for their health? Are you going to be able to hire replacements? Or are you going to try to do more with fewer people? What's the morale of your employees? And be thinking about that because that's important to how your team interacts with your customers. And depression, negativity is a virus in and of itself. It spreads so easily versus optimism. And so staying on top of how your employees are feeling and what they're thinking is important. And communicate, communicate, communicate about what's going on in the business and where you are. Don't scare them, but be honest as much as you can to give them where things are and how certain or uncertain they may be. Because you want to make a commitment to keeping your team. If they're good people, you want to do everything you can to save the business and have those good people keep working for you. So what are you going to do when things are back to quote unquote normal in your business? Will you be hiring? Instead of hiring, will you be automating and leveraging technology? Are you going to do more marketing? Are you going to do things with social media? Will there be new products and services, new markets and customers? Are you going to do something else? Be thinking about what's going on in your business and ask your employees for their ideas and get some of their input and things that they may think will work, and because they talk to your customers or they talk to your vendors or they have access to information, they have skills and expertise, and they know your business. So get information from all sources that you can. And one thing you should ask your customers, what can you do for them right now? What's the one thing that they need right now? And how can you help them with that? How can you help them today? Maybe it's not your area of expertise. Maybe it's nothing you can do directly, but maybe you know someone who can. And so while you're gathering information, and it is about improving your chances of being successful and getting back on track in 2021, it's also about recognizing that you're not in business if you don't have customers. So what can you do for your customers that help them get in a better position? So as you're gathering a lot of information about your business community, about your customers, about things going on in the marketplace, ask your peers, ask people in other industries, ask people what they're seeing, what they're hearing, what's going on with their business, and look for information that can help you better strategize and develop tactics for 2021. Now note, you're going to consolidate this information you gather and offer to share the lessons you learned with the people you're having the conversations. You're not going to share confidential information at the customer level. You're going to share with them, you know, trends. You know, like 75% of your customers or your vendors, the people you talk to, were very optimistic about 2021. Or, you know, 30% of the people you surveyed expect their business to be lower than was in 2019. Or maybe 100% are optimistic about what's going to happen. Whatever it is, look at how you can stratify that information and get as much out of it for yourself, and how you can share the broad strokes and the trends that you're learning from your conversations. And once you've talked to your customers, you need to look upstream. I call it vendor validation. The more you know about your businesses that are in your supply chain, the more you know about what you're at risk to have to deal with. So businesses in all industries are struggling. There was a time, you know, toilet paper became scarce and everybody was hoarding it. And there were other things, soap, disinfectants, PPE elements, you know, just different things that were in short supply. Well, it was because there wasn't a deep amount of supply in local warehouses. Things coming from China, shipping from other countries, and suppliers got held up because those countries had COVID issues and structural issues and production issues. And so the more information and more questions you can talk with about your vendors, especially a vendor that is a sole source vendor, they're the only one that provides you that specialized product or service or input that your business is counting on to be able to serve your customers. You need to reach out to your vendors and see how they're doing. How stable are they? What are they expecting for their business in 2021? Get them to be as honest as they can be with you and make contingency plans. If you have a sole source vendor and they're saying they're doing all right, you know, we've learned in 2020 that the unexpected can happen. Something completely out of the blue can happen. And so have a backup plan for a sole source. Doesn't mean you're going to pull the supply from that vendor. You're not going to cancel that contract even if you have that option. But it does mean if something happens, you have a backup. And so you have a conditional sourcing there that says, okay, you have the capability, and if my vendor fails to perform on their contract for whatever reason, I need to be able to go to you and know that you can supply me when they can't. What's that lead time? What's that ramp up time for you to get in and be able to supply things to me? You need to reach out to your most critical major vendors and see how they're doing. And use some of the same questions I was just talking about using with your customers. How optimistic are they? Is their business up? Is their business down? Is it about the same? Are they struggling to get inputs? Are there anything in the supply channels that need to be concerned? You just want to dig in and get as much information as you can and that they're willing to share. In addition to what your customers are talking about and what your vendors are doing, you need to look competitively at the marketplace. What are your competitors doing? And that means taking a look at their website, their social media, articles that may be coming out about them or that they're putting out. Look to see if you can assess and see how they have done. What's the marketplace saying about the competition? You're not alone. None of us are in the marketplace, and we all have competitors. The more we know what's going on with our competitors, the more we can assess the potential impact on our businesses. Your competitors' actions and reactions matter, and whether they're affected positively or negatively by a disruption like a COVID event or anything else, your business is also impacted. If a competitor's business fails, the marketplace might get concerned that your business might not be stable and viable. On the other hand, a competitor's business closure can mean their customers are out there looking for someone else to solve their problems. So understanding your competitors makes you understand yourself better. You see your business through the customer's eyes when you understand what's going on with your competition. Maybe your competition is new. It's younger. It's leaner. Perhaps they're your most formidable competitor because they leverage technology and automation to a greater extent than you do. And maybe they have been using remote workers and virtual meetings for years. They've been utilizing social media and e-commerce and a range of other innovative tools and solutions since they've been around. But they weren't as well known as you until COVID. And maybe you stumbled a little bit because you weren't automated, because too many things were in person. Maybe your website wasn't up to speed and you didn't have e-commerce, you didn't use social media, and you didn't market. There were a lot of things. And now your business went down and theirs took off because they could deliver and they could do sales online. They were virtual and able to connect to their customers. They had customers that were used to getting things delivered or through social media and different sources of information. And so they were able to adapt and respond and had things in place that made them more flexible and more present in the environment we had in COVID, where delivery, online ordering, and so many other things became so critical. And so now, if your sales are down drastically because you were completely an in-person business and you have restrictions due to local ordinances, executive orders, whatever on your business, what are you going to do now? What are they doing? How current is your web content? How are customers looking to interact with businesses like yours? How do they want to make a purchase? How do they want to get their information? How do they find you? And so by looking at local competitors and the market leaders, looking at businesses in other industries to see how they are changing and leveraging technology and how they're thriving, do that. Get ideas and translate them into actions that you can take, that your team can implement, that you can do something different. And you're consolidating together the information about what your customers, where they're at, what they need, what they're looking for, how you can help them with what the vendor is doing, what they're capable of doing, how supplies and flows are going to happen, and what the competition in the marketplace is telling you about how business needs to be done in this new post-COVID, eventually post-COVID world. I've talked about it on other shows, internal analysis. We called it SWOT, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. But I do an internal analysis from a different perspective, and I've called it before TOES. I look externally first, and then I move internally for the focus. Now, I've been internally focused asking customer questions and relationships and vendors, but now I want to take a broader look. I want to look at the marketplace. And I want to do my analysis looking at threats and opportunities first, and then I'm going to focus on my internal weaknesses and challenges and play to my strengths. So in the external environment, COVID, regulations, all of those kind of things are things we kind of just have to accept to a degree in the short term. We can't change a national or global regulatory policy in the short term. We can lobby, we can protest, we can do all kinds of things for a long-term change. But when something is an emergency and asks us to change how we do business, then we have to take a long-term perspective. And so we know that in the long term, we have a lot more options than we do in the short term. But we have to get through the short term to get to the long term. And so we have limited options when there are threats out there like COVID, like forest fires, a hurricane, other natural disasters, snowstorms, or changes in political administrations. We have long-term solutions for those by lobbying, doing all kinds of things like that for change. But in the short term, our realities are, what is the economy doing? What regulatory things are there? What other market factors are occurring? So when we're looking at threats, we put them into different categories. The threats are external or internal. The external threats are short term, near term, mid term, and long term. And I'll talk about that a little bit more. But the threats are things that put our business at risk, or they may be, opportunities in disguise. If 2020 has taught us nothing else, we've learned that the ability to shift direction or pivot is crucial to survival. The businesses that created new plans, new ways of doing business, new products and services, and in general, just changed, they were able to survive and even thrive, while other companies in the similar situations and similar industries, at similar stages, Well, they struggled or they closed. So opportunities are generally frequently in the same position as threats. They're disruptions. Their opportunities come when something is disrupted, when the same things no longer work. So the disruption may be a result from a local isolated event, a business closes just under normal circumstances, or it can be something of global proportions like COVID-19. It can be regional, like fires and floods and all those kind of things, or it can be regional, such as what administration's running a particular state and their approach to COVID. So when we identify the disruptions, we need to examine them and determine how it's going to impact our business today, next week, a month from now, 90 days from now, a year from now. Disruptions require us to analyze and understand the impacts on our business and the impacts of the businesses and the community around us. We want to determine if and how we need to act in this new state of being. We also want to know if we can provide a solution that's going to use our strengths in the marketplace. So questions that we need to ask ourselves about disruptions are the impact that's going to happen on our business and the impact on other businesses. What's the exact nature and scope of the disruption? What's its source? Is it a technology innovation? Is it Google coming into the internet and changing things? Is it Amazon coming on stage? Is it COVID-19? What is the scope of it? Is it local? Is it regional? Is it national? Is it global? Is it affecting one industry or many industries? Is it a logistical thing, or is it a structural thing, or is it both? Is there a financial impact? Is it operational? Is it regulatory? Is it impacting our inputs and our resources and our outputs and our products? How long is it going to last? Can we tell? Is it unknown of length and nature? Is it temporary or is it permanent? Is it short term, 30 days or less? Is it near term, 30 to 90 days? Maybe it's midterm, 90 to 180 days. Maybe it's going to last a year. Maybe it's going to last more than a year. Maybe it's here to stay. So we have to ask those framing questions that give us a perspective on what's going on. And then we have to take that framework and fill it in with the who and the how. Who is impacted? Is it in every individual? Is it some communities, some individuals and not others? Is it businesses? Is it the nonprofit organizations, our states, nations, everyone impacted? How are they impacted? Is it some aspect of how they communicate or get information? Is it the way they travel? Is it going to be impact how they buy or how much they spend or the value they place on products and services? Is it impacting how they live? Maybe it's stress, risk, mood, and morale. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's trust. Maybe it's something else. And maybe it's all of the above. And the more we understand the impact, the multi-dimensions of the disruption, we get to do our what-if scenarios, and we create these scenarios that enable us to analyze what we're seeing and how it's going to play out in many different ways. What if this is temporary and short-term? What's our response? What if it's permanent and it impacts how everybody lives and works? What if we can't do X? What if we can't go back to in-person dining at, you know, sardine packed restaurants, you know, that we were packed in so closely? What if we can change technology? What if we can change how we do something? So how can you change the way you get customers, provide products and services, develop and offer new solutions and alternatives to what's out there? How do you reduce your workforce or increase your workforce? How do you recruit new people with new talents and skills? How do you rebalance the workforce? How do you identify new technology and where do you get it and how do you afford it? How are you going to implement it and what's the impact going to be? How can you change where and how your employees work? What other changes are going to be necessitated? In your analysis of your business, you need to develop your new 2021 strategy. It's just a few weeks away. It's going to require you to rethink, revise, review, and redirect your team and other resources. For instance, if you are one of the many businesses that have decided to permanently have a remote workforce, You need to rethink your physical office space commitment. Do you need a space at all? If so, how big? Where? How are you going to use it? Who's going to be there? What are you willing to invest in that? Do you still need a fancy building and a fancy location and something that's more expensive, Class A office space? Or can you do shared virtual space that's, you know, that you have conference rooms available when you need them and maybe one shared office that's rotated through? You got to think through those scenarios and continue thinking through them. Now that your workforce is remote in this example, you need to understand that scope of the change and the ripple effects in your business about them being a remote workforce. Where your employee is located, does their location change anything for your business, such as creating a new nexus for sales and use tax or revenue reporting and income tax? Are there different liabilities and insurance requirements? Are there changes in expenses that you reimburse, such as car allowances, home office expense reimbursement? Will you have an agreement with your employees that they're going to submit, you know, some dollar amount that's based on some logical formula for a home office expenses? Are you supplying them with supplies? Or are they using a purchasing card? What's the process going to be for them to get supplies? What about overtime? Are your employees salaried? If they are they exempt or non-exempt? What about employees that are hourly? How are you going to manage the hours reported for hourly employees and non-exempt employees? Are you going to track them for exempt also? What are you doing? If your employees are hourly, how are you verifying their hours? Is there a concern that your employees will now be always on call? What are the implications for hourly employee compensation and non-exempt salaried people's compensation? And when will overtime be triggered? And how are you going to manage that? What happens if your employees are not only remote, but on flexible work schedules? You have an hourly or a non-exempt employee that's already worked their 40 hours, but they get a phone call or for a video conference, something requested from, say, a team member or maybe a customer. The employee is now going to be kicked into overtime. What does that mean for your business? How are you going to manage overtime and budget your payroll expenses and other things related to employee time? How are you going to manage their performance? How are you going to coordinate schedules and keep everyone focused on the company's goals and performance? Flexible work schedules, great. Working from home, great. Productivity, okay. There are ripple effects on your business of changes you've already made. The remote workforce is just one of those. What are you going to have to change in how you do business, how you document things, how you communicate and you set parameters for hours worked and verifying hours worked? What else needs to change is the big question that we're going to be asking ourselves. And that's what we're looking at these threats and these opportunities. And they go hand in hand. A threat can be an opportunity, and an opportunity that's too big and outside of your bandwidth can become a threat because you're not large enough or you're not equipped to pursue that opportunity. And you get yourself out there too far on that branch and that tree and it breaks. Well, that leads us to weaknesses that we're going to look at. Yours, theirs, and ours is how I label this when we're doing this analysis. Honestly, I'm not a big proponent of devoting resources and time to improving your weaknesses. I think we all should play to our strengths. But the reality is, in business, there are crucial elements of your business that if you're weak in those, you need to shore them up. You need to make them stronger. I call those your business core elements, and I focus on 8 of those with my clients. And I break them into foundational core elements and growth core elements. And so we've talked about this before on the show, but these elements have to be strong or your business is not going to be as successful as it could be. So when we talk about our foundation, what is our business concept? And this is a prime time to be reevaluating your business concept. What is the market challenge, the market opportunity, the O, that we're looking at? How big is that opportunity? Has it shifted? What is our business concept? How is it matching up to what people are buying and looking for now? And how are our resources going to be deployed to pursue the opportunity and execute that? It's all about our entity model, our business model, how we're going to make money, our legal structures, where we're located, where we're operating, where that nexus that occurs because we're doing business in a state, a municipality, a region that has some kind of tax implication or some kind of liability or business requirement. And so let's think about this remote workforce and go back there. So our business concept is that we serve the customers in the communities where we're located. We're solving problems for them. And let's think of, well, let's use PPE. We can produce, manufacture, and deliver PPE by doing 3D printing. And so we're doing face shields, we're doing other PPE that can be produced on a 3D printer. So that we were doing 3D printing before, but it wasn't PPE, personal protection equipment. And now that's what we've shifted into. So what is the business concept now? We need to define it. We need to nail it down. We may have pivoted really quickly to generate sales because we could do this. Now we need to make a decision. Is this what we're in going forward? Is it one of the things we're in? How big is it in the business? What's the opportunity there? How long will that opportunity last? Who are we competing against? Are we going to get priced out of the market because it's too expensive for us to do that? It was fine in the short term. There's a lot of questions we have to answer. And once we have those foundational core elements of our business concept, our market opportunity, our resource needs, and our entity model of how we're going to operate, then we start looking at our growth elements of customers, our operations, our results, and our execution. And we dig into those so that we know how our business needs to improve. What do we need to work on? And so refining and defining our business, thinking about our customers, are we adding additional things into our product lines, our service lines? Are we implementing new technology? Are we offering new solutions into the marketplace? We need to define all of those changes along these eight elements. And so that may make us redefine, rebalance where our resources are committed, where our people are, what products we're going to drop, what products we're going to add, and just restructure and realign our objectives. And so how can we execute and execute well to get the results our business need and the results our customers need? And so that's when we're digging into our challenges and those weaknesses, and we're looking at how those threats, those opportunities play into what do we need to get better at within our core business. Think about it from your body when you're exercising. Our core strength from our abdomen, where our vital organs are, it's important to protect it and make sure it's the most effective and efficient and strong that it can be. Then everything else, our arms and our legs can operate better when our core is stronger. Our back is protected when our core is stronger. When everything is working together from a strong core, we move better, we think better, we respond better. Everything is better when our core is strong. And that's true in business too. And so we're looking at those weaknesses and we're assessing them and we're recognizing the things that are crucial, that are critical, that we have to get better at. And here's something that probably should be said early and often, at least from my perspective, is that when there are weaknesses in areas that are not critical or the things that is not about your core business, it's not where your expertise lies, you either need to outsource them to someone whose expertise it is. So let's say you know nothing about social media marketing and you really need to do it for your business. Is that something you need to spend time on, or is that something you're going to dedicate resources to spend time on and you're going to hire somebody that has their expertise, who's going to be better at it, faster at it, and in the long term, less costly than if you're going up a learning curve to learn how to do it yourself? We make the trade-offs. Assess your business to find out what your core is. What are you in business to deliver? What is that concept? What is that market solution? Who are you serving? What are you doing? How are you going to make your money? I have a background that enables me, should I choose, to do my taxes. I can do my taxes. I don't like doing my taxes. And I had this conversation with my tax preparer one time. And well, why, if you know this, why don't you do it yourself? I said, because it's not my area of expertise. It doesn't make sense for me to spend my time doing my taxes. It's a better trade-off for me to pay you to do my taxes, me to review it and have a conversation with you. And instead of spending that 5, 10, 20, 40, 50 hours that it would take to produce my tax returns myself for all of that, it's cheaper for me to pay a tax preparer to do it, my CPA, my accountant, than it is for me to use that time to do it. It's better for me to bill my time out because that's what I'm in business to do. I'm not in business to do my taxes. Someone else is in business to do taxes, and it makes sense for me to hire them and their expertise to do that. And so those are the kind of trade-offs we have to think about. And in defining our core, it gets down to our strengths. In our business, we should do the things we went into business to do and that we are really good at doing. And not do the things that are not our expertise, that are not logical. Doing your taxes when you could be working with clients and making revenue. Those trade-offs are things we need to be aware of. So where is the line between working on our weaknesses, only on those things that are crucial to our business that we have to be good at to be successful, and then deploying our strengths, the reasons we went into business, whether that's being a strategic advisor, a strategic consultant on growth, whether that's being a tax preparer on complicated business taxes or personal taxes, or it's any number of things. Play to your strengths in your business and focus on making sure that you're maximizing your strengths and not spending too much time putting resources in things that are not going to make a huge difference in the success of your business. Investing a lot in social media and having someone on staff may make sense if you're a multi-million dollar company and it's cheaper for you to have an employee in place or a contractor in place doing that versus a vendor hiring a social media company to do it for you. You have to make those trade-offs, but it requires you to dig into your business and analyze it. What are your strengths? Look at your team, not just yours, but as the business owner, but the team that you have around you. I challenge a lot of my clients to really look at their team and understand their skill sets. Last year, I did interviews just before COVID of every member of one of my clients' teams, and I sat down with them. And in talking with each member of their team, there were things that each team member had the capability of, and not only had the capability of, but it was one of their core strengths that this business needed. And one of the first conversations with the client was going around and said, did you know this person likes to write? Or this person likes to do research? Or this person loves social, anything with social media? Or this person is into whatever it was? But when we had been talking about directions the business needed to go and to find those resources, a lot of times businesses already have those resources inside. They just either didn't know or had forgotten what their employees did and their experiences before they came into the business. I'll give an example from my past life. I've talked about working for Ford Motor Company for a long time. And I went to work for a British automotive supplier after Ford. And one day, the big guys came in from corporate and we're talking about a presentation and I got called in just to do a little technical support. They had an issue with the difference between a European version of Microsoft products and presentation and formatting here in the States. And the other thing was the keyboards, of course, were in French and German for our visitors, and our tech guys didn't speak French or German, and we were figuring out the keyboards and what keys to hit and things. But the bottom line was, when I started looking at the presentation, they had numbers in the presentation from related to the part of Ford I worked for just before leaving and going to this other company. And so it was kind of an interesting thing to look at them, and I looked at them and said, your numbers are wrong. And they said, well, you can't know that. I said, well, actually, I can, because I was still working at Ford that year that you're referencing, and I ran that program. And so I can actually tell you your numbers are wrong. And instead of asking me questions and seeing what I still had in my head and things that I could tell them, it was like I had never spoken. And so they went off with their wrong numbers and made a decision based on wrong information. They had other information available. They just didn't consider it because it wasn't in the scope of what they were thinking about or what they thought they knew about me. And so you need to stop making assumptions about your employees and treat them as the valuable resources they can be. Have conversations with them. Check their background. Have them walk through again, you know, what they did at other places or what they've done outside the business area while they've been working for you. They may have been working with a nonprofit and done some kind of volunteer work that it acquired new technical skills. Or they may have been taking an education program of something offline, not part of your business. And so you need to look at how you view your most valuable resources, your team. And your team is going to be the make or break of your business, especially in times like these. And so we're going to dig into your business. I'm going to challenge you to dig into your business and define your true strengths. Be honest about it. Ask your team to define your business's strength. Ask your customers, what's the one thing that you do for them that is most important that they can't get anywhere else? Or ask them questions like, well, okay, here's an example. We are using telemedicine a lot these days. And so one of the questions they always ask, if you hadn't been able to make an appointment using the telemedicine service, what would your alternative been? Wait longer for treatment, go to an urgent care, wait to see your doctor, or do nothing? Ask those kind of questions to your customers about, if you weren't doing business with us, who would you be doing business with? Word it very carefully. You might be pointing them to your competition. Why do they stick with you and do business with you? And value their responses. Value the customer. And okay, I've got to do a little segue here. And I'm going to talk about this probably on an upcoming episode. In a time like now, where every customer counts, the biggest strength you can have is to respect and value every customer, no matter how large or small, and to communicate that value that you place on them genuinely, as frequently as you can. So just this past week, I had an episode where the installer of my HVAC new system 2 months ago didn't vent it properly. And we hadn't been using it much until the past few weeks with the temperature dropping. And I came home one day last week to realize that my mother and my pet was sick because the venting of the furnace was being vented into the room where my mom and my pet had stayed all day. They could have died from the venting of those fumes into the house. My mom's 85. And has breathing issues. And so we'd been very careful during the COVID time, and yet we made a decision to go with a particular vendor. And when I called them, they didn't communicate that they valued us. They didn't say, I'm sorry this occurred. They gave a first response of, well, I'm sure you did something to cause it. I don't know about you, but I don't crawl up into my ceiling and look at things. And then they tried to blame the town for failing to catch it during an inspection, etc. And so it escalated and got pretty ugly over a 4-day period. But all they had ever had to say and genuinely convey was that they valued our work, our business, that they apologized for making a mistake, and that they were going to make it right and do whatever that took, recognizing they could have killed my mother and my pet and me. Fortunately, I had been in and out of the house quite a bit, and so I didn't get the full effect of it until I suddenly decided I'm going to climb up on a chair and look in my ceiling and see if there's a problem with the venting. And I got a full face of carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide and other byproducts of the furnace. But the point is, I will never be their customer again. Everybody I know will never be their customer again. And they're out a lot of money to make this right. When an apology, we're going to make it right. We value you. And this is what we're going to do for you instead of trying to find a cheap way to push it off onto somebody else and say, we really value you and you know, you're a customer and we're going to make this right. On the one hand, and on the other hand, well, you probably caused it, you did something, and we're not at fault, etc., etc. Costs them a lot more money in denial than it does in valuing a customer and making a mistake right. So here's the challenge in times like these. Value the customer, not just for the short term, not inauthentically, but genuinely value every customer and do good by them. Treat them literally the way you would want to be treated. If you make a mistake, apologize, make it right, whatever the scope that is, and realize that that in the long term will save your business more than trying to pinch pennies and count dollars and deny that you're responsible. Part of the strength of any business is the relationships that you can build with your suppliers, with your customers, with your team, with your community. You can survive anything together. It may not look and act the same as it was before, but go through a crisis, and if you behave in the best of human nature and do the right things for the right people, you're going to be better off in the long run. It may cost you some money in the short term, and even in the near term, and maybe even for a couple years. But if you can preserve the capability of your business, the credibility of your business, the reputation of your business, and that there's a genuine connection with your customers and that authentic, that's hard to say right now, that authentic aspect of a relationship, you never know how big your business can grow because of that little something extra that you've given to a customer, even if it's just listening. Maybe it's an apology or an empathetic moment when you're saying, you know, I do care and I do hear what you're saying. I've spent time listening to clients recently who have lost loved ones to COVID. Is that my job? No. Is that about our relationship? Yes. Because first and foremost, we're humans. We can be capitalists, we can be business owners, we can be conservative, we can be liberal, we can be progressive, we can be whatever. But first and foremost, we have to be human and we have to care about the other people, the impact and the scope. And if we make that authentic caring, that authentic relationship building between ourselves, our customers, our vendors, our team, our investors, our communities, then I think we can survive just about anything. We can adapt, we can overcome, we can learn, we can share information, we can transform who we do business with, how we do business, where it, we can change a lot of things. But we need people to be successful. We need to do things the right way at the right time. And it's always the right time to care. It's always the right time to do things the right way, to take responsibility, to communicate early and often if there's going to be an issue. Personally, I would rather a client call me and tell me, I am genuinely sorry, but due to whatever that was beyond my control, I can't pay my bill this month, and here's my plan. I've had this happen with clients in the past. The plan was for $50 a week until they paid something off. And that wasn't to the best for my business, but we had a relationship, and so I accepted it. But then the payment didn't come, and they didn't call. They didn't answer an email. They didn't answer their phone. And so it was better to have told me that I'm not going to be able to make a $50 a week payment than to commit to that and not do it. And to that extent, I guess I'm like the IRS. I'll give you a payment plan, but you got to stick to it. Now the IRS has bigger guns to take after you and more enforcement than I do as a small business, but the principle's the same. I'm going to work with you as long as you work with me and you keep your commitments. That's all we're expecting as customers, as vendors, as resources, as community members. Keep your commitments. Don't lie. Don't misrepresent. Put the cards on the table. It might be embarrassing. It might be hard to do. But in the long term, the relationship you save and the business you save may just be your own. And so, look at 2021 as it's coming in strategically. Dig into your business. Look at 2019. And then look at 2020 and make a decision. Where do you want to go in 2021? What targets are you going to set? And set those targets. Talk with your customers, your team, your vendors, and look at what you can do in your business. And most importantly, throughout all of this, stay focused. Stay focused on the important things.